We're back, Stouffville and listeners, with Angela Chrysler from Upper State New York. Is it Upper State New York, Angela?
Central New York.
Central New York. Angela is discussing the really important question for all writers, whether to pursue traditional publishing or whether to pursue indie publishing, and the fabulous, in the sense of who would have thought of this, how the curve of publishing has changed in the indie market from, oh, those are the rejects, those are the people who don't understand the craft, those are people who are not actually offering good narrative, well plotted out with good characterization, the change from that to the kind of magicality that comes when you discover an author in the indie world who knows what they're doing. And Angela, I want to make a comment here. You spoke earlier about your process, and you spoke about character and plot and how you had to create the climax differently when your 270,000 word book was, it suggested to be made into two books. And I'm impressed. Did you do some formal training as a writer?
Oh, absolutely not. I've never been to college. I have a high school diploma. I'm self-taught. I did have a certificate at Long Ridge that actually went over magazine article writing, which is funny because I never, aside from the 8 articles that I submitted, I actually haven't really done much. I did go into novel writing. There was a course that I did take for novel writing. But the majority of our conversations with my instructor on that topic was dealing with characterization. I submitted a chapter. He reviewed it, gave me some suggestions. We analyzed why, and that was pretty much it. As far as formal training goes, what I walked away with, the knowledge that I'm applying to my book, actually came from one of the best English teachers I had in high school. She was absolutely phenomenal. Her name was Mrs. Dexter. She was college level, very intelligent woman, and she was teaching English on such an amazing level. It was just amazing what she brought together into that classroom, and I think I was 11th grade when she went over everything. So when I wrote a book, I actually applied all the knowledge I took out of high school and used it for my book.
Well, it sounds extremely well taken care of in terms of all the technicalities. And as a writer and as someone who has something of a background in writing, I do have a bit of a gripe with people who sort of jump in and just go, oh, well, it doesn't matter. My imagination is all that counts. And whether their sentence structure is correct or not, I really feel that that does a disservice to the art itself, and that it does require us to look at the techniques and to look at sentence structure. And there's so many really abundant ways in which we can get the information. You know, there are the great courses, and then there's all kinds of free stuff on the internet regarding grammar sentences. Go ahead and tell me about that.
I was at a massive disadvantage when I started writing due to my lack of college. So I'm huge understanding that I'm limited with what I know, and there's always somebody out there who knows more than I. Dolor and Shadow took 7 years to write, and I rewrote her 5 times. Every time I rewrote her, I learned something new about English and grammar. And I actually, grammar was the very last thing that I studied. It's quite amusing.
Yes.
I worked on characterization first, and then I worked on setting. I developed geography and climate. I went into a year where I just studied news, the current events of the year 995 AD, worldwide at that time, and I applied them to my book. Around the last year, I was planning on publishing the book. And 6 months prior to the original publication date, I realized I had actually beta read my book with a friend of mine who was an attorney. He pulled my book apart.
That hurts. It can be so helpful, but boy, it hurts.
It hurt. Yeah, I had attorneys beta read my book. It really hurt. But I walked away knowing so much more about word precision, and this is huge. It was absolutely being sensitive to how a word is used in definition, from the words into and onto. It was very insightful. When I walked away, I looked over the notes he had taken, and I realized 50% of what he had written I didn't even understand, and it was grammatical words.
Uh-huh.
I went, I'm a writer, and if I don't understand these terms, there's a problem. So I was online, Googling some information, seeing what I could find, went over to Wikipedia, went over to a few other locations, and I stumbled upon this beautiful website called dailygrammar.com. This website is designed by one of the individuals in charge of Microsoft's program, and it was developed solely for Microsoft programmers to take a free crash course in grammar so they can apply it to Microsoft programming. That
Brilliant.
Is it.
Brilliant.
He made it available to the public. There's about 600 lessons total. That's including quizzes. And I was so arrogant when I started. I'm like, oh, I've got this. I opened up the first lesson. It's three questions. Identify the verbs. Oh, yeah, I got this. I did it. I went ahead and I was going to do it once a day, one lesson a day, which is what you're supposed to do. And I thought I could handle it. So I went on to the next lesson within a couple of minutes, and I was stopped dead in my tracks. I just didn't know the answers. That was a reality check as to how limited my grammar was. And when I got to that point, I examined the 600 or so lessons, realized I was publishing in 6 months at the time, I thought, and realized I had no time.
Right.
So instead of doing one a day, I decided to do as many as I could. I completed it in 1 week. I did about 50 or 60 lessons a day. And they said that this course is equivalent to 2 semesters of grammar in college. And I would love to go back every year and redo it. It was just absolutely insightful. And it was, as I said, it was absolutely free. So there was just no reason to not tell other writers about this. I finished it, and I walked away just completely changed. I sat down, picked up my book, and just read through it. And suddenly, every error, every glitch just popped out at me.
On the one hand, I want to say, I'm so sorry that that happened for you. On the other hand, I want to say congratulations.
I am so glad it happened. So, so glad. I suddenly saw antecedents misplaced. I saw verbs misplaced. I saw prepositions that were unfinished. I saw everything. And this is really where you need to set your arrogance aside and
yes.
say, okay, what don't I know? I went through and had to completely rewrite the book. And by rewriting, I mean I applied one of the massive amounts of red paint to the manuscript.
The famous red.
Final writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was done with this, though, the manuscript was grammatically pristine. It was just stunning.
Fabulous.
I was able to hand it over to other writers, actually college graduates of grammar. And one of the highest compliments I received absolutely just warmed my heart. He explained that he is a professor of college, and he knows other professors of grammar, and I was able to catch things that other people struggled with. So it was really a huge compliment how far I had come with this daily grammar. I sing its praises, and I cannot say it enough when I talk to other writers. There's just no excuse. It's free. You don't
exactly.
need a college education. You just need 5 minutes a day to go online and just accomplish this.
That is a fabulous, fabulous ad for the technical ends, and it is so vitally important. I taught mm-hmm. English, and that's where my background is at university. And yes, it's a bit of a hindrance for me, because if I see a piece of writing that has grammar mistakes in it, all I see are the grammar mistakes. And
mm-hmm.
it does mean I can't read the actual characterization or the plot.
Yeah.
I'll just go, no. But it does also help me understand a little bit about how professional agents and publishers, what they're seeing when they look at mm-hmm. whatever it is you send in to them. But as you were saying, you're interested now to go indie publishing. You made that leap. Can you explain to us more about what informed that decision?
To go indie, it was primarily the time frame. I did not want to wait the 2 years to go through the process. At a time that I could be selling books, I would be shopping for an agent. I would be shopping for a publisher. I would be waiting for a query letter to get accepted. This really irked me more than anything when I was all done with this process, is I had spent so many hours writing query letters. It takes approximately 2 hours to write one query letter.
Minimum. Oh, my friend, if
yeah,
you can do
minimum.
It in 2 hours, you're much faster than I am. I can go fully a full day. It can take me to get it.
It was trying. And when I was done with that process, I stepped back, and I had spent 6 months querying agents. I had 2 agents come back to me. About every 13 agents, I had somebody coming back saying, I want to read the manuscript. They loved it. I had some very prestigious agents coming back and telling me, I would love to see more of what you write. But they all had the same answer for Dollar. I do not understand how I would be able to market this. I just don't know how to sell this to a publisher.
Right, right. And this
and that
is...
was,
go ahead.
That was really a huge, I knew how to sell this. I knew exactly what kind of people I was going to be selling it to. I had exactly, I just know what I'm going to be doing with it. So when they came back and said they didn't know how they were going to win over a publisher, this is where I say no one knows the manuscript better than me. I know my baby. I formed it. I lived with her for 7 years.
Right.
I knew how to sell her. And the idea of having a stranger come along and do that for me, I just didn't see wasting the time frame while they get an angle and present it to a publisher. I just didn't see wasting the time when I could be selling books and instead writing my next book. I'm doing that now instead of writing query letters.
I think that's fabulous, and congratulations on that choice. I must say that it's been an amazing arc to listen to you say that. And I also believe that the traditional publishers, what they're printing and what they're releasing, all have the same sound to them in my ear. When I read them, they all feel and sound the same. When I go into the indie world online, I can find stuff that is so well written and so exciting and so unusual that it's really great. This has just been a fabulous discussion with you, Angela, and Gary's letting me know that we're at our 2-minute mark. I can hardly even believe it. It's already coming to a close here. Would you come back on the program sometime?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would just be so delighted if we could do another interview together, because you have so much passion and so much to say about books and writing and the industry. And I know the thing we didn't talk about, which is how I know you, which is the immense amount of work you do for other writers on social media.
So, writing the books. Brain to Books, my other self.
Yes, Brain to Books, that's right. That's the alter ego there for the Angela Chrysler. Is there anything you would like to steer listeners toward where they can learn more about you?
Well, my website is www.angelabchrysler.com. I do everything there. My events for Brain to Books, if you're an indie author looking for a boost in media, social media, I do huge events about every 4 times a year. We are currently running the blog tour. We have 100 authors, 35 days, 15 blogs who are all going to be processing the tour as well. And it's all done in one tour that begins on 24th. I just got done with the Indie Book Blast on July 1st in honor of Indie Pride Day. And I have the Brain to Book Cyber Convention in April that I do every year. And there's no limit to that. It's all free, and I take on whatever authors are looking for a boost in advertising.
Thank you so much, your generosity, and I just wish you all the best with your books, and we'll be in touch by email very soon. Take care, Angela, and thank you again.
Thank you very much.
That's it. That's all for today from Off the Top here at Whistle Radio 102.7 FM. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, take good care of each other.